Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. We are talking about a topic that comes up very frequently in our house because we have teenagers. It's so weird though, Jesse, because we actually only have two teenagers now because Catherine turned 20. And I'm like, I never know. Two teenagers and a college student, I guess is what we call them now.
Right.
It's all about money. And I
think, young adult,
yes. I think it is never too early to start talking to your kids about money. Don't wait until they're teenagers, but also don't feel like you've missed the boat if they are teenagers and you're just not thinking about talking about money with them. But what we're going to share today are five mindsets that will change your teen's future. These are mindsets that you can start teaching when your kids are 1, 2, and 3 years old. And we'll talk about some of what it looks like to teach them when they're younger as well. So this is not just for parents of teenagers, but these are mindsets that we have seen in our own lives and also in our teen and college students' life, how these mindsets have made such a difference and really allowed them to have a leg up in a sense when it comes to finances, when it comes to their future, when it comes to just not having the stress that you can start feeling as you get older surrounding money. Number one, everything you buy costs more than money. Everything you buy costs more than money. I think this is a concept that a lot of people do not think about. You just think about the price tag on something and you don't think about the time investment to earn that money. Mm-hmm. One thing that I think is really helpful is to recognize how much is your time worth. For instance, if your teen has a job, for them to really be thinking, okay, if I go out to the movies with my friends and I pay for my ticket and my movie ticket, I was like, that sounds weird. I pay for my movie ticket and also I pay for my big bowl, a big tub of popcorn and a big soda. Right. It's going to cost every bit of $30, even $35. It's so expensive to go to the movie theater. They are making a killing on those buckets of popcorn. But anyway, also the sodas. But to think about, okay, how many hours would they have to work to be able to pay for that? And is it worth the time that they invested?
And not only that, but the opportunity cost of that purchase as well. You could easily spend that $30 somewhere else for something else. Is it worth spending it on a movie?
Now, this is not to say you should never go to a movie or never do fun things.
Exactly.
But to always be thinking of, was the time I invested worth the joy or the fulfillment or whatever it is that I'm getting from this thing that I'm paying for? I think if you don't have teenagers, maybe your kids are younger, to help them to understand the concept that time and money go hand in hand. And one way we try to teach this with our younger kids is having them earn money to buy things. So if we're at the store and they're like, I want that toy or I want to buy that, instead of just being like, no, you can't have that, we say, did you bring your money? I love this because it is no longer a negative. It's turning it into a positive, but it's also turning it into such a valuable teaching opportunity because they start to understand that what you buy at the store actually requires work in order to purchase. Money doesn't just grow on trees. When you get older, people don't just come up and start handing you money every week. They don't just buy things for you. You have to work for it. And so we try to really simulate those real world examples when our kids are younger. And then it helps them to really think, okay, do I want to do this many chores in order to earn that money to buy that thing? Like, is it worth that many chores? Kirsten, she is so funny because she's always asking now how many monies something cost. And that means how many dollars something is. And she's like, it's $27. And then that's a lot of dollars. And I think because she understands now, she has to work a lot in order to earn that much money. Mm-hmm. And is it really worth it? So 5 money mindsets that will change your teens for future. 1, everything you buy costs more than money.
One thing I was thinking about though, too, with that concept, want to make sure that you, while still teaching them about the value and possible time value of money, is to make sure that they understand not to have an employee mindset. Because if you're trading time for money, you could easily get caught and stuck in that mindset. So how would you take that further to think, okay, how do you not get in that employee mindset with trading time for money?
Can you elaborate on what you're referring to here?
Because the employee mindset is the amount of money that I have is valued based upon how much I'm having to work for it. Okay. It's limited. What do we need to do to teach saying, okay, how can I create an investment to earn that amount of money instead of just trading time for money?
So like you're talking about residual income.
Yeah. And having more investment mindset.
I think that's really good. I guess we need to add another money mindset on here. We could cross this one off. I was one that came up with these. No, I do think that this is a valuable starting point, but then I think then you can take it to the next level and be like, actually, there are opportunities where you don't need to invest time and you're still going to earn money. I think of, for instance, Catherine was working at a food service place and they offered catering services and they offered her the opportunity to go and find local places, let's say a school that would offer a school lunch through that catering service and they would do it on a weekly basis, or some business that would do a weekly lunch for their employees. And they offered her that if she were to get new business for them, that every single time that new business actually placed an order, she would get a percentage of the sale. So it was upfront time that she had to invest, and there was no immediate return on her investment of building those relationships and all of that. But there was the possibility of long-term benefit. And I think it's important for our kids to kind of understand both. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, her investing that money, there was a time investment. And that was kind of one of those things where it was a risk. Right. And so learning to really calculate the risk versus the reward and talking about those things, just like with her right now, we're talking about long-term versus short-term investments. You and I, we have these conversations a lot because do we want to invest our money in real estate? Do we want to invest it in short-term rentals as in like an Airbnb? Do we want to invest it in long-term rentals, which would be a long-term lease on a, you know, single family home? Or do we want to invest it in a multi-family home situation? Do we want to invest it in some type of business? Do we want to put that money into the stock market, into mutual funds, into other types of investing? And so there's lots of different options, but starting from the basics of everything you buy costs more than money.
That's important to think. There's something bigger going on here. What do I need to learn? And that's where it starts with number one.
Secondly, living on less than you make is a gift you give to your future self. This one, I think so many adults really struggle with it. And I would say it's because when they were younger, this was not modeled for them. Mm-hmm. They had parents or a parent who lived paycheck to paycheck, and they were probably in a really hard situation, but also they probably had grandparents who didn't model it for their parents. And so this is a legacy thing. And I think to start helping our kids when they're young to not spend everything they make, because when they're young, very rarely is a teenager going to need to spend everything that they make. I mean, there are exceptions. If someone's really on their own completely or something like that. But if you are living in a family unit where your housing is being provided, your food is being provided, your transportation is being provided, that sort of thing, you are not going to need to spend every dollar that you make. So as a teenager, learning to set aside money in savings first. For us, it's we put 10% away for tithe, and then we put anything we need to save for taxes, putting that away immediately, and then savings. Like seeing those as those are your highest priorities. Set those aside first. Don't even count those in the money that you bring home. Mm-hmm. Like don't even think of that as money that you have at your disposal. Availability. Mm-hmm. Like it is just already spent, quote unquote.
Already spoken for.
And so teaching our kids that living on less than you make is a gift you give to your future self. Learning how to set up a budget as early as possible and then practicing sticking with it before you enter college, it is going to give you a massive, massive leap ahead of most young people your age. Mm-hmm. And I can say that with authority because I talk to so many parents. We have children who have a lot of friends and know a lot of people who are in their age range. And you would not believe how many parents are paying for almost everything, or they are paying for everything for their child, and also giving them an allowance too, or is some sort of stipend. Mm-hmm. That is actually so detrimental to your child. Because you're not teaching them to value money. You're not teaching them the first step of everything you buy costs more than money. But you're also not giving them the opportunity to handle money and practice budgeting. I'm not saying that you should never pay for things for your kids. But I think thinking of, okay, how do I set them up for success in the future? I'm going to teach them real world skills right now. And I'm going to let them make some mistakes. Mm-hmm. Because they learn, a lot of people learn best. I'm one of them. We learn from mistakes. And so once you've made it one mistake, you're going to be less apt to make it in the future. So let them make it when they're young, mm-hmm. in the $3 and $30 and $300 levels of mistakes versus the $3,000 and the $30,000 and $300,000 mistakes when they're older.
The thing I like about that is you learn more from your mistakes or your failures, as some people want to call them, than your successes. And I like to call failures opportunities for learning. Mm. Change the mindset of, is this a failure? No, it's an opportunity. So an opportunity for growth, because we grow more when we fail than when we succeed.
And it's not a failure if you learn from it.
No, it's not.
So let your kids make some mistakes. Don't feel like you need to constantly be coming in and scooping them up and fixing something if they made a bad choice. We had one of our teens, this was years ago, they didn't have a lot of money or a lot of opportunity to, you know, they weren't old enough to have a job. And they really, really, really wanted this piece of electronics. And they found online this place that was selling it for way cheaper than anywhere else online. And you and I were both like, I don't think that's legit. I don't trust that site. And they were bound and determined. No, no, no. They had done their research. They felt like this was a good deal. And it was $90, which was significantly less than it was anywhere else.
Right.
But it was $90. And so they plunked down their $90 and they bought the thing and it didn't work. And they had no recourse because it was one of those sites. Mm-hmm. There was nothing they could do. They had just wasted $90. But you know what? They didn't waste $90 because they learned a very valuable lesson from the $90 that they spent. They spent $90 to learn a really valuable lesson that they will carry with them for the rest of their life. And that is, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Mm-hmm. Let's do your research. And let's dig a little bit deeper than just a really quick cursory look at a website and, you know, well, it says everything it should say. No.
Yep.
And there are so many scams out there now. And, you know, teaching our kids to be able to spot them and be careful. I got today in my email inbox this form that looked very legit from somebody that I knew. And I actually clicked the link. I know, because it looked so legit. And then it took me to this weird place that it said I was supposed to like type in some stuff. And at that point, I'm like, so I emailed them and they're like, I am so sorry. It sounded like they had clicked the link and then filled out the form. And apparently then it sent it out to everybody in their email inbox.
That sounds familiar.
I'm really, really hoping that because I just clicked the link and didn't fill anything out, I don't think they could have done anything from it.
Yeah, they could have.
But they could have. So if everyone on my email list gets some form that looks legit in the next
not only the forms, you think about all the links that come through on our text messages, like all the DMV scams going on right now. I don't know how many times I've almost lost my driver's license because I've had
you get that text.
DMV text in. You know, it's just thankful that they're looking out for
gotta
me.
Gotta click that link. We've had
don't do it.
We need to do a whole episode on scams because we have had so many over the years. I could start telling, but we would be on a big rabbit trail here.
Always look at the link before and like scroll over the link, scroll over the email addresses that come in. 10 times out of 10, they'll be very wonky.
Well, and in this case, I should have done that. And also I should have emailed the person. And the other thing is I actually sent them an email that said, is this a scam, whatever. And it had, there was an autoresponder thing that must have been populated in their email address that said, yes, I sent this to you, da 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 da. But the way that it was worded, I was like, and then she emailed me right after that actual email. And so.
No scam this email is. Yeah, that's probably what it said.
I was like, that doesn't sound like your English is your first language.
Do you want to set your child up for success? Maybe your child's struggling with a specific subject, or you feel like they just need extra help with their homework and you don't feel qualified to help them out. Or they're asking questions, or you just feel like in school, they're not just really at the pace that you would like for them to be, or maybe they're not being challenged enough in their class. IXL is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies, and it's designed to help kids really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Silas used IXL in his math class, and he loved the data points that it gave him, and he loved how he was able to work ahead, and it just really motivated him in math and is someone who really loves to see, you know, exactly where he is and all of the percentages and all of that. It was perfect for him. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids because it's powered by advanced algorithms, so it gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And you can save time because one subscription gets you everything. You can use it for kids from pre-K to 12th grade. And a single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL, so it can save you money. 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. use IXL. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Crystal Payne Show listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. As a Christian, sometimes it can feel like we rush past the meaning of Easter. There's so much to do. There are so many decisions to be made. There's so much going on in our lives that we forget. The meaning of Easter is that God made himself man and died for us so that we could have close access to God just as we are, no matter who we are. And this changes everything. And that's what I want to tell you about the Glorify. And that's why I want to tell you about the Glorify app and Glorify's Holy Week Challenge. Glorify is the number one Christian daily devotional app. And it is such a great go-to if you are wanting to prioritize time in God's word, daily devotional, scripture, starting your day from that mindset of just remembering the truth of who God is. You can journal your prayers, reflect with guided meditations. You can even explore courses designed to deepen your understanding of scripture and help you grow in your faith. And they have an 8-day Holy Week challenge that it actually guides you through powerful daily devotions, scripture readings, and teachings to help draw you closer to the heart of Jesus. It's 8 days, 8 devotionals. It's that easy. If you're ready to celebrate Easter in a new way, join me and join Glorify's Holy Week Challenge. You'll also get access to exclusive reflections and insights from The Chosen's Laura Silva, guiding you through the season of renewal. Visit glorify-app.com/crystal right now to download the Glorify app for free. That's glorify-app.com/crystal to download the Glorify app for free. glorify-app.com/crystal. Do you feel like you spend so much of your time figuring out what to wear, standing in your closet, looking at all your clothing items and thinking, what am I going to wear today? Or maybe you have a big event or something where you want to dress professionally coming up and you're like, what am I going to wear? Well, Armoire is a great option to help you uncover your personal style. It's a clothing rental membership and you'll have access to high quality, unique brands tailored just for you. That's right. You take a 5-minute style quiz when you sign up and you choose items from your dynamic personalized closet and have them delivered to your door in as little as 2 days. And get this, when you're ready for something new, just swap them out for new to you styles. No laundry required. I have gotten to try Armoire out and I have to tell you, so not only did my personal style quiz kind of bring up some clothes that they recommended that weren't things I would typically choose, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this out. And I ended up falling in love with a few of the pieces so much so that when I went to send them back, I'm like, I have worn these so much, I'm going to buy them. And so I did. And I've worn them so much since then as well. I also love that you no longer have to feel badly about if you're just wearing an item once. Let's say you have a big event and you want to buy a nice dress for it. Well, instead of buying it, you could rent it and then you don't have to feel badly if you only wear it once because then you send it back and then you can get something else for another event. It's also great if your body is changing because you're on a fitness journey or during pregnancy, you're not then buying clothes that are not going to fit you for very long. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/crystal. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/crystal to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Okay, so I wanted to mention right here that we actually just recently launched something I'm so excited about. It's called the 1-Hour Budget for Teens. And this is a spinoff of our product for adults, the 1-Hour Budget, which walks your teens through exactly how to set up a budget in 1 hour. We tell them step by step by step. It's super fun. The actual product is very bright and colorful. It's broken up. It's not this boring product. We tried to make it something that our teens would be excited about. They actually helped look through it with us before we launched it. There are videos that go along with it. There are bonuses that come with it, like one that is all about how to earn extra money, different ideas for ways that they can have side hustles. But also there is a parent guide that we put together to go along with it. And it walks you through how to have these conversations with your kids. And maybe you have a teen who's very resistant to having any conversation about money. I give you some really good tips. Let me tell you, I know how to break through that resistance. And a lot of it involves food. It involves doing things your kids really like. Let me tell you.
Sounds like bribery to me.
No. Okay. You take your child out to their favorite restaurant. You say, hey, do you want to go get, you know, donuts? Do you want to go get coffee? Do you want to go get ice cream? Whatever it is that they like, or you do the thing that they love to do with them. That is the best way to unlock the doors of conversation and opportunity. Just building relationships, stepping into their world, not coming and being like, hey, You need to do something about your money. Hey, you are not making good choices with your money. But instead, starting it by telling them a story about something that you did when you were a teenager, where you, you know, made a poor mistake with your money, or some humorous story, and you just tell it. And then you just kind of let it sit and see if it opens up any doors. And so just kind of gently starting these conversations over food, if your child is one, or maybe it's that you're doing some activity with them, take your girls shopping, you know, if they love to go to the thrift store or whatever it is, but do something with them. The side-by-side activity is honestly one of the best ways to open up conversations. Mm-hmm. And don't come at it with a critical spirit or a judgmental spirit or a really questioning spirit. Come at it with curiosity and also with humbleness of sharing your own mistakes and what you're learning and what you're working on, and be honest with that. So we have a coupon code. If you would like to check that out, you can use the coupon code TEENS, TEENS, and that is going to knock the price down from $25 to $19. We'll put the link in the show notes for that. I hope that this can be just a really, really helpful resource. Also, I wanted to mention that we actually have a freebie of what we're sharing today, plus we have 15 financial skills every teen should know. So you'll get all of the things that we talked about today, plus a printout that is 15 financial skills every teen should know. And we'll put the link to download that in the show notes as well. Okay, number three. Compound interest is one of the greatest tools to tap into when you are young. If I could tell every single 12-year-old, 14-year-old, 16-year-old, save your money. Like, it is crazy. If you start doing the math and start understanding how much you can save if you start saving now and let compound interest be your best friend. Your teen years, it's one of the best times to set aside money in a high yield savings account and don't touch it. Like, just don't touch it for 10 or more years. Like, if you cannot touch it for 20 or 30 years, maybe you move it around into some other investments or something like that, but not spend it at all. It is going to pay off in big, big dividends.
Yeah, I can hear the math nerd saying, well, wait a minute, with inflation, you're just going to be losing money. It's just the practice of learning to learn this discipline. You know, that's what's invaluable as well.
And also, I truly think that it's going to pay off in big dividends.
No pun intended.
That is my belief. And there will always be the naysayers. Here's the thing. Don't let your negative beliefs be what holds you back from financial success. Because if you sit there and you're like, well, that won't work because blah, blah, blah. You know what? You know what's going to work better? Mm-hmm. Is to stop telling yourself that and to start doing something.
So I was listening to this podcast this week. It was very fascinating. This guy, you know, we just had a little bit of a downturn in the stock market here within the last week. And he was complaining about, you know, I've been waiting 15 years to invest in the market, just waiting to ride a downturn to be able to invest. And I've never jumped in. And they started asking him questions. Well, where were we at this point, you know, 10 years ago? Where were we at 15 years ago? If you would have just jumped in and not waited for the perfect time to do something and just rode the wave and held on to it long term, you would have doubled or tripled your money.
Yeah. I think so often it's easier to make excuses than take action. Yep. And so you're going to want to find the negative reason, the excuse, the, you know, criticism, the cynicism, whatever, that all it's going to do is just keep you stuck. Yeah, I think of the passage in the Bible that it talks about the parable of the men who took the money and, you know, one of them invested it and doubled it. One of them invested it and was it? And now I can't think of exactly, but anyway, they tenfold. Invest, yes, tenfold. One of them invested it and they doubled it. And the other one, he just dug a hole and hid it. And don't be that man. Don't just dig a hole and hide your money. You know, do something get up and do something figuratively and actually really. And that's what's going to make a difference, because you can sit and make excuses all day long for all sorts of things, but you can always do something. Mm-hmm. So do that something. What is it that you can do? Number four, learn, this goes along with this, learn to manage the money you already have as best as you possibly can, instead of thinking you'll be a better money manager when you have more in the future. Mm-hmm. I talk to so many people who feel like, well, I can't have a budget. I can't do this, that, or the other because we don't make enough money. There is not a threshold of how much money you need to make in order to have a budget. Mm-hmm. There's not a threshold of how much money you need to make in order to be a better money manager. Mm-hmm. Even if you hardly have any money at all, even if you don't have enough money to make ends meet, that's the best time to be a good money manager. Don't wait and think that more money is somehow going to fix your discipline problems.
Yep.
Right now, start with what you have where you are and learn to manage that money well. So teaching our teens that, okay, so maybe you only make $30 a week. Let's learn to have a budget for those $30. Because then when you make $300, it's going to be a whole lot easier. When you make $30,000 a year, it's going to be a whole lot easier. And you know what? Mm-hmm. Someday maybe you'll make $300,000 a year. And you're going to be an amazing money manager because you started with $30.
But if you don't learn that lesson, when you make the $300 and the $30,000, you're going to end up bankrupt. Like those people that, you know, that win the lottery and then a year later have nothing to show for it. Mm-hmm. You don't know how to handle and use what God has given you.
The way you manage your money when you have a little is almost always going to be the same way you manage your money if and when you have a lot. So don't wait. Start now. And fifth, contentment and creativity are two of the best assets for your financial success. If you are content with what you have, where you are going to have so much more financial success. Because here's the thing. When is enough going to be enough? Mm-hmm. If enough is not enough right now, what's the level that you're going to be at when you're like, okay, now I have enough? Probably never, because there is always something more that you can chase. You need a bigger house. You need a bigger boat. You need a better car. You need a nicer electronics, whatever. Like, there's always something more. You move up in your job. Like, it is never going to be a point where you've hit the top and there's nothing more that you could attain or achieve or amass.
It sounds just like the conversation I was having with Micah yesterday.
Yes. Our two-year-old, speaking of, we've really been working on contentment with him because he's really been struggling. And honestly, a lot of it has come from, he was watching some shows on Paramount Plus, and you think it was Paw Patrol, but in between Paw Patrol, they have commercials because we don't have the commercial-free version. And I tell you what, the makers of kids' commercials, they know what they are doing. Mm-hmm. And he went from being this sweet, just like calm, kind child who would just wake up, I love you, mama, and play with his toys and just for hours, just be so happy to, I want to go to Target and get that Paw Patrol toy. And then he was just always asking. He wanted to watch things. He wanted to get things. He wanted to buy things. He wanted to look on Amazon. I mean, it was crazy. It happened in a very short window of time. Mm-hmm. And so he is currently on a no screens diet. And,
well, I was just yesterday, he went to Target with his sister. That was, but he just wanted to get one car.
He just needed one car. That was all he needed was one car. When he has,
about 10 of them.
He has plenty of cars at home. And that one more car is not going to somehow change his life. But aren't we all like that?
So he's learning the lesson of no.
Yes.
It's a very important lesson to learn. A lot of people don't know.
Caitlin FaceTimed me from Target. He was crying. I just want the one car. I just want the one car. Caitlin won't get it for me. She said I had to earn my money. But you know what? Do you know how much he has talked since he came home about how he's going to do chores and he's going to earn money so that he can get a car from Target? I'm like, he hasn't taken any action of asking me about doing any chores, but at least he's understanding the concept. Yep. And the other thing is us taking away the screens that had commercials, like just saying, this week we're just doing a screen detox. We're seeing a marked difference mm-hmm. in his contentment. Now, obviously yesterday, maybe we need to take away going to Target too, but I think you're never going to be able to completely eliminate the messaging of more. I think we can do what we can for our kids to help kind of, you know, set some good boundaries and avoid as much of that messaging as possible. But we also need to learn how to handle when we're bombarded with this, you know, I want that. And I wrote a post about going to Target not too long ago. I don't go shopping very often, and I definitely don't go into Target very often. And I think I was just at a place where maybe I was having some insecurity or something, but I walked into Target. I just needed, I think it was three things. And I got into Target, and all of a sudden there was the jewelry and there were the accessories and there were the clothes. And I'm thinking, I really need to update my wardrobe. And then there's the home organization. And I'm like, we need to have a more organized home. And then there's the home decor. And I'm thinking, our house is just like, all of a sudden it was all of these areas in my life were not enough because I was accosted by all these beautiful, shiny things. And it's a much deeper heart problem of me thinking that somehow if I get some organizational bins and a new dress and, you know, a picture for the wall or something, that that's somehow going to fix something deep in my heart. And so I think, you know, having these conversations with our kids, teaching them from an early age that we can try to fill the hole in our heart that only God can fill by buying stuff, by achieving more, by thinking that more is somehow going to be fulfilling something that stuff never can fulfill. And so teaching our kids contentment, and truly that is only something that God can impart to them, but we can at least give them the tools and help them with the mindset and model for them contentment. If they hear us talking constantly about how, you know, even thinking of as, you know, if our girls hear us always talking about as women, that we need to lose weight, they're going to think that, you know, a different sized body is somehow going to be what's going to make you better. Or if the guys are, you know, always talking about, you know, I'm thinking, what is it? You know, it could be cars or something like that, like having a nicer car or I want a truck or whatever, you know. And as a dad, if that's what is being modeled is always needing more and feeling like what you have is not enough, like our kids are going to pick up on that.
Yep.
And it's not to say that we should never try to lose weight or we shouldn't, you know, buy a nicer truck or something, but it's about our heart posture and why are we doing what we're doing and really paying attention to the words that we're saying, making sure that how we're modeling for our kids is not this belief that somehow stuff is going to bring us happiness. So contentment and creativity are two of the best assets for your financial success. And I really feel like they go hand in hand. When you have contentment, you tend to then be more creative because you're going to think about how am I going to make do with what I have? How am I going to really stretch what we currently have? How am I going to take the house that we live in or the food that we have and turn it into what's going to be enough and going to feed our family well, the house that's going to serve our family well? You know, how can I maybe reorganize so that it's going to be better set up to serve the family? But not thinking that I've got to go buy more stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to fix things.
Not only, even with what you were saying, kind of how am I going to take what I have X, Y, or Z and use it for something else? That can almost be taken as a limiting statement. If you change it into say, how can I get to use what God has given to me? To use for something else or to use more, totally flips it on its head. Instead of saying, I'm a victim, I have limited here, how am I going to use it to and expand it? Instead, how do I get to use those things that God has given to me in that way?
I love that. And also it makes me think of when we were early married and money was really tight, thinking of it as a game. Like mm-hmm. for me, it was, how far can I stretch this? How well can we eat on how little? And I made it a game. And so it was this fun challenge versus, oh, this is all we have. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm going to have to make do with this. And your attitude really does impact so much. And so that is, you know, kind of maybe another money mindset we could add on here. But, you know, having that grateful spirit, because gratitude reframes what we have. Mm-hmm. And if we get to that place of just really living with a grateful heart, it, you know, instead of I have to, but I get to, changes so much. And our kids are going to pick up on that.
Exactly.
And they are going to really, really pay attention to, without even realizing, the words that we speak, the attitude that we have, it trickles down to them in a big, big way. So if you hear your kids saying discontent words, you know, I think of like Micah, you know, was saying those discontent words. I think, is he hearing some from me that I need to work on my own attitude? Are there ways that he's hearing me somehow communicate that where I'm at or what I have is not enough, and making sure that I am really exuding that contentment and that joy of enough in front of him? So once again, all of these money mindsets are in a free download that we'd love for you to have. And along with that download, you will get our brand new resource that is 15 financial skills every teen should know. This walks you through helping your teen to really set them up for success for the future. We'll put the link to that download in the show notes. And like I said, if you would like to have a resource that is hands-on to really help your teen be able to set up a budget, to help empower you as a parent to have the conversations with your kids about money, and to have a practical step-by-step tool with worksheets and videos to help your teen learn how to manage their money, whether it's $30 or, you know, $300, $3,000, whatever they have, to learn to manage that money well and be really intentional with that. We have our brand new resource, the 1 Hour Budget for Teens. Use coupon code TEENS, TEENS, at checkout, and you will knock the price down to just $19 for the entire course plus the free bonuses. So we'll put the link for that in the show notes. Have a great week. As always, we love hearing from you. If you have any thoughts, feedback, things that your parents did well, things that were really helpful for you to teach your kids to manage money, things that you're struggling with when it comes to money management with teens, questions you'd love for us to address, or anything else, you can send an email to crystal@moneysavingmom.com, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.